Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
And may I tell you quickly this morning that if you are an angry, unsaved man in your heart, if you know not God, it doesn't matter how many marches you march in, how many picket signs you make, or how many statues you knock down. At the end of the day, you are still in your miserable sin, because without Jesus Christ, you will never know real deliverance.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and he has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The God of a Second Chance.
What is most important is not the manifestation of the miracle. Many people are interested in miracles, and miracles are very interesting. But miracles in the Bible were always something that would draw a man's attention to the message. You see, what matters mostly this morning is not the song, it's not the decor, it's not even a miracle. What matters mostly is, what is God trying to say? Are you with me so far? So we have a manifestation of God in the burning bush, but now we're going to hear a message from that burning bush. And as it begins, there's an invitation to approach. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that Moses turned aside to see the great sight. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Here we see that God summonses him. God invites him to come. And the Bible's clear to us. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. God is calling out the man. How many of you are thankful that we serve a God that wants to give a message to us today? He invites us. By the way, my friend, it was no accident that somebody put a gospel track in your hand. No accident that somebody invited you to Lancaster Baptist Church. We just happen to have a God that's still reaching out even in this generation. And we see in this message that there are several attributes of God that begin to unfold before us. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The first attribute we see of God in this story is the attribute of his holiness. Essentially, the Lord is saying, all right, Moses, you've come towards me. You've come far enough. Before you come further, take off your shoes, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. May I say to you this morning that we serve a holy God. Many times today in certain churches, I believe the casualness of the moment and the rock and roll style, if you will, oftentimes can be something that's distracting from the holy God that we serve. And I want you to recognize today that we serve a God that is a high and lifted up and holy God. We serve a God that has given us a holy Bible. He has called us to a holy life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And I understand his grace, and he does not accept us based upon our ability to always be perfect, but he is always perfect. And we must recognize, as we worship today, that we worship a holy God. But we also see not only his holiness, but we see his immutability. Immutability is the doctrine which tells us that he never changes. And in verse 6, the Bible says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He said, now, Moses, you need to know I'm the same God that your fathers worship. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. and that we are privileged to approach Him by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way. And even as Moses may have said, "But God, I am unworthy to approach You." God says, "Moses, come." And sometimes we might say, "But God, we are unworthy." And He says in Hebrews chapter 10, "I want you to come boldly to Me because I've created a new and living way, and that way has been paved for you and made possible for you by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ." And I've given you the scripture in your notes this morning. In other words, I'm not worthy to pray directly to God, but I'm thankful that because of the blood that was shed, my sins are forgiven. So it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 1, "My little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not." You see, we have a holy God who says, "Don't sin." But He says, "But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we can come before the Father because of Jesus Christ." How many of you are thankful that Jesus shed His blood so that you can talk to the Father? So we have a message, and the message is that our holy and our unchanging God is saying to us, "Come to Me. I want to talk to you. I've got something I want you to do." This is the communication of God to an unworthy man, and God still communicates to unworthy people. He's doing it to me and to you today. But notice, secondly, this morning, not only the communication of God, but notice the compassion of God. We have a compassionate God. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of My people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now help me read this, verse 7, because we're going to just take a moment here to see some things about our God. Ready, begin. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of My people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now here we see the compassion of God. He is an omniscient God. That is to say, He knows every need. May I tell you this morning, He knows your need. He knows the needs you have in your marriage. He knows the needs you have in your finance. He knows the needs you have with your health. He is an all-knowing God. You say, "Pastor, why do you say that?" Well, notice if you would, He tells us in verse 7, I surely have seen the problem with the children of Israel. Job said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm thankful today that I do not pray to a statue of Buddha. I do not pray to a religion founded by a man who is not alive. I'm thankful that I pray to a God who has eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And He sees our need this morning. But the Bible says, "I have seen." And then He says in verse 7, "I have heard." God heard their cry. My friend, I'm thankful as well that we have a God who hears prayer. I know the devil tells you, "Why are you praying? God doesn't hear that." I know the devil tells you that prayer is a waste of time, but I just want to remind you today, He does hear, and He may not answer you on your timetable, but I would say to you that God's delays are not God's denials, and that God is always working, and God is always listening. But I'm telling you that God sees, and God hears, and God says, even when you're uttering groanings which cannot be uttered, "I understand," God says. "I see your need, and I hear your prayer." Oh, I'm thankful today that I serve a God who heard the needs of the children of Israel, and He hears me today. But then it gets better than that in verse 7. The last part of the verse, He said, "For I know their sorrows." And I just want to thank God today that I serve a God who knows the sorrows of His people, and He understands the burden that you carry. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Did you notice in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says that He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. I tell you this morning, we serve a God who knows how it feels when a loved one dies, and He knows how it feels when pain comes into the body, and He knows how it feels feels when someone turns their back on you and is disloyal to you. We serve a God who knows that feeling. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. And he says, now I want you to know, Moses, I feel with my people. They are the apple of my eye. And I don't know what you're going through this morning. I just know there's a God in heaven who feels whatever it is that you're feeling this morning. He's a wonderful, omniscient God, but he's also an omnipotent God. That is to say, not only does he feel what you feel, but he can do something about it. And in verse 8, the Bible says this, and I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Notice that, please. And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to put them into a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I've been hearing my children's prayers. They've been crying out to me. I've been seeing the beatings that they take. I've been watching as they've had all of these struggles, and I know how it feels. That's why I've come down. Oh, we ought to pray as a church that God would come down and that God would meet the need and that God would help us in our difficult time and that God would deliver us. That's what God did when he saved you. For the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to deliver us. And how we thank God for that. He comes to deliver and he comes to set us free. The Bible says in verse 8, I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, notice please, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God said, I'm not just going to set you free temporarily, but I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm giving you total deliverance. I'm bringing you all the way out. Now, we live in a day where everyone wants deliverance and people talk about deliverance and freedom and expression. And sometimes unsaved men, they demonstrate their desire for freedom of expression in the most ridiculous of ways. And may I tell you quickly this morning that if you are an angry, unsaved man in your heart, if you know not God, it doesn't matter how many marches you march in, how many picket signs you make, or how many statues you knock down. At the end of the day, you are still in your miserable sin because without Jesus Christ, you will never know real deliverance. And people think, boy, if we do this or that, or if we say, if we stand on this or that, then we're going to have our freedom. And by the way, we thank God for our freedom in America. We live in the freest land of all. But you can live in America and be without freedom if you've never been delivered by Jesus from your sin. You can tear every statue in America down, still be a sinner, lost and on your way to hell. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to bring you just a little ways out of Egypt. He says, I'm going to take you to the land of milk and honey. I'm going to take you past the Canaanites. I'm going to take you all the way in to the promised land where you'll be my people and I'll be your God and we'll know what real fellowship and we'll know what real freedom is because I'm an omnipotent God. I don't take you part way. I take you all the way. John 8 and 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free, you see. Until you have Jesus in your heart, you're not free. You're still full of anger and sin and bitterness. But when he comes into your heart in his own omnipotent, powerful way, he can set you free. Oh, what a blessing, my friend. Oh, how God wants to deliver you even today from your sin and your anger and bring you to the power of the cross where you might know his freedom. We see the communication of God clearly given to Moses. The compassion of God, a God who says, I see and I hear and I know how you feel and I'm going to bring you out. But notice then, thirdly, the commission of God. I suppose Moses was standing there going, oh, this is good. God knows and hears and sees. Wonderful. And God has power. Wonderful. And then God says, and Moses, I'm going to use you to do it. And Moses said, huh? You mean you're going to commission me to be a part of that? I don't think so, Lord. Now notice what he says in verse 10 of chapter 3. Come now, therefore, God says, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This was God's plan. This is always God's plan. God's plan is to use a man. God's plan is to use a woman, totally yielded unto him. God is not looking for denominations. He's not looking for well-oiled machinery. He's simply looking for people that will take his message and the message of deliverance to those who are in such need. It is still his plan today, for Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. My friend, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And some of you say, when I've been saved a lot longer and when I know a whole lot more, then I'm going to be a good soul winner. Then I'll get involved at church, then I'll somehow start to tithe and serve and some of that other stuff, but I'm not ready to do that yet. I want to tell you something. God will enable you when you simply say, here am I, Lord, serve me. That's God's plan, was to use Moses. But notice, secondly, Moses' plea. In verse 11, Moses said, oh God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, he says. You see, Moses is kind of focusing on himself here, like some of you do. Oh, God, you're making a big mistake. Remember what I used to do? Remember that gang I was in? Remember that abortion I had? Why, what if somebody found out? I mean, I just feel guilty even coming into the church. Who am I? You see, Moses was making the same mistake Peter made. Peter was doing great walking on the water as long as he looked at Jesus. But when he started looking at his circumstances is when he got really wet. The question is not, who are you? I know who you are. You know who I am. We're all a bunch of sinners. The question is not, who am I? The question is, who is God? And oh, we need to get the focus back on the Lord today and on the fact that he can do whatever he would want to do. Moses says, God, who am I? Moses says, God, what would I say to these people? Verse 13, what would I say? Notice, God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. As the representative of God, Moses' responsibility was to tell the children of Israel who God was. Jehovah, Lord, all capital L, Lord. He is Lord over all. And here we see this term, I am, one of the most special names in the New Testament, helping us to get to know God today. And when God says, Moses, tell them that I am has sent you, then you must recognize that the name I am speaks of the eternality of God, that he is timeless, that he is not, as the Jehovah Witness said, someone who began his existence in Bethlehem's manger, but that before Abraham was, he was there, that he is eternal God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that he is there from the very beginning. I am says that he is eternal. I am says that he is self-existing. He does not need anyone or anything else to prop him up. He is God. He is the I am. I am speaks of his sufficiency. He is enough for us. He is the I am God. He is Jehovah God. And this is what Moses needed to understand, that he would not go in his power. It would not be because of his ability to speak, nor his ability to organize, nor his ability to fight hand-to-hand combat. It was not about Moses. It was all about God. And it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's all about trusting in God today. I am. I am. God had a plan. Moses made a plea, and then God simply gave him this promise, verse 12. He said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Would you see that in verse 12, and we're nearly done. He said, certainly I will be with thee. Let's say that together. Certainly. He'll be there at the hospital. He'll be there in the marriage counseling. He'll be there when you talk to your teenager. He said, Moses, wherever you go, I'll be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Moses, when you go, the people, they're going to listen. They're going to listen. Verse number 18, they shall hearken to thy voice. Listen, I don't have to try to persuade people when I go soul winning. That's God's part. My part's to give the message. God's part is to persuade the heart. I don't want to persuade them to myself. I want them to know the mighty power of God. He said, not only will they listen to you, but you're going to see that when you leave Egypt, they're going to give you their gold and their silver. They're going to give you things that you'll need to build the tabernacle someday. Verse 22 of chapter 3, the Bible says, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, of gold, of raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. God said, not only am I going to deliver you from Egypt, but your children are going to be loaded down with gold and silver, and the very people that have been beating you are going to put gold and silver in your pocket. I just got to say, we serve a great God this morning. Here's my promise, Moses. You just do what I'm telling you to do. I'll take care of the rest. Oh, but Pastor, I just don't know. Listen, friend, you just do what God's telling you to do. He'll take the rest. Some of us need to come to the Lord this morning. We need to come to holy ground this morning. And with humble heart, listen to Him. We need to remember that He knows and understands our need. We need to remember that He'll give us a second chance if we come to Him by faith. We need to allow God to use us to take that message of deliverance to a lost and a dying world. Years ago, there was a man named Mel Trotter back in the late 1800s. He was a wicked drunkard of a man. Oftentimes, he would leave his family 2-3 months at a time drinking. He would leave them without food and without heat for the winter. On one occasion, after a 4-month stupor, he came back to his home only to walk into his daughter's room and to find her lifeless body on the bed. She had died in his absence. He stood at the casket at the funeral. He vowed, I'll never touch liquor again. And 2 hours later, he was drunk again. He got on a train to Chicago. He got off the train and sold his shoes so he could buy some more liquor. A man saw the barefooted drunk standing there on the street and invited him to a place called the Pacific Garden Mission. He went into Pacific Garden Mission and he heard the people singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He heard them singing Victory in Jesus, and he heard songs that I once was lost, but now I'm found. He heard the preacher preach about the God who gave his son to die for his sin. And Mel Trotter walked forward that day and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He went to his wife and begged her forgiveness. He began to study the Word of God. He never touched a drop of alcohol again. And you can Google his name, Mel Trotter. You'll find that he preached all over America and all throughout Europe. The wonderful grace of Jesus and the God of a second chance. Not because of who he was, but because of who he is. The great I am, who will never leave you and never forsake you, who brings you out of bondage to use your life for His honor and His glory.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.